You have your Bibles, if you would, turn with us to Genesis. Genesis chapter 26. I want to read a few verses out of there. Say again, I appreciate the good the open door and the good opportunity to come be with you good people one more time. Ask you to be much in prayer for us. There's absolutely nothing within a man that makes him have the ability to preach. It takes a divine touch from God for a man to be able to preach with any power. And, me and Brother Kevin was talking, I believe it was, last night, that, you know, every time worship takes place, there's a miracle. Because for worship to take place, the Holy Ghost has to move upon a man, and there's not any of us that has the ability to command the Spirit to be upon us or to move upon us. And it's fresh in its dealings every day. You may sing a song one day and God just bless you with just an abundance of His Spirit. And you may the next day sing that very same song. You just can't get a hold of anything. You may read your Bible one day, read Scripture, and you read those Scriptures, and it's almost like reading a newspaper. It's just words. But then the next day you pick it up and you read it and the Holy Ghost moves upon it. See, that's a miracle every time. You know, every time a person gets born again, it's a miracle. It's not of a natural state. Man cannot perform it. It takes the good grace of God every time somebody saved. We've almost made it a light matter, salvation. And I'm persuaded the reason a lot of that is because a man has put his hands in it, and we've got a lot of false security in our land today. But I want to try to preach to you tonight. Well, I know we preached this morning on digging ditches, and I hope you brought your shovels again tonight, because we're going to dig some more tonight. We're going to be over in Genesis chapter 26, and over here, we're at a place here where Isaac has run into some problems, because one, he done some of the very same things that Abraham did. If you remember, Abraham told the Philistine king that Sarah was his sister, and now Isaac has done the same thing, and he's found him out not to be truthful with him in that matter. Now, aren't you glad that God recorded these things and these faults and failures of Abraham and Isaac and people like that? How tough would it be for us today, knowing our frailties and knowing our faults and knowing our failures, if God had not, if all He had recorded was their overcoming and all of this, we'd sure feel like sure failure. Now He doesn't dwell on their failures, but He talks about them. He does mention them, but He extols their faith. And He lifts up their faith, and He emphasizes their faith. And you know what? Well, if we're not careful in our daily walk, we will emphasize our failures and minimize our faith. But our faith should be lifted up, and our failures minimized. I'm not going to stand up here and list all the things I used to do and all that I was. But I can tell you, there's great grace and mercy standing before you here tonight. And I thank God for that. But this man, Isaac, had run into some problems there. And the people there, we're going to read just a little bit. And you're going to find they had got jealous of him because God was blessing him. And my friend, listen, they were driving him out of the land of the Philistines. And verse 11 said, and Abimelech, who was the king of the Philistines there, charged all his people, saying that he touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. He was talking about Isaac here in Rebekah. And he said, then Isaac sold in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Now this is in the middle of a famine, and Isaac's are reaping this great bounty here. And it says, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. They had determined if they didn't have nothing that could water in them wells, they wasn't nobody going to use them. So they filled them up with earth so that even though God was a blessing Isaac, he wasn't going to get to be able to use those wells. And he said, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, Philistine had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac, a herdman, saying, the water is ours. And he called the names of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. He called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, for they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and will multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged the well. And I want to stop reading right there and talk about digging a well. And I want to talk to you tonight about digging your well and finding your place of in this great way. You know, there's a lot of folks that are dependent on what mama and daddy have done. It seemingly in the southern United States, if your grandma or grandpa or somebody in your family has ever had any kind of loose association with the church, you're all right. You go witness to people. And I guarantee you get out in this community, you talk to people, how they can tell you, I had ancestors, I had done this and done that, that church might be built. And there's a lot of people think they're in good shape because of family affiliation, and they're doing well because God is blessing them. But here Isaac was, God had multiplied him. He had reaped when everybody else couldn't reap. But my friend, it didn't bring him honor and fame. It brought him disdain in everybody's eyes. I want you to know something today. It ain't nothing that makes the world any more furious than to see God's people rejoice and do well. But I want to tell you something today. Just because you're doing well, it don't always mean you're at the place you're going to be. My friend here, he was. Isaac began to have trouble with all these other men that began to fill the wells in. He dug them back out, and they began to strive one with another. So he goes down in the plains of Gerar there, and he digs a well and finds a fountain of living water. But my friend, listen, even though that water was a bubbling up and all that, it did not stop the conflict. My friend, sometimes it's better to have peace than it is to be right. And I want you to know something. It sounds like this well was dug in such a place that these men were reaching to be able to claim it. But that wasn't enough reason for Isaac was seeking peace and seeking God. And I want you to look at this verse name. He called it there. It meant contention there. And so he went to the next place and he dug another well, and they strove with him there, and he called it Sitna. And from that word there, we get our word Satan. It's a part of that same word. And so you can see that they was trouble there at that well also. But he went a little further, and he dug a well, and there was no fighting, there was no contentions, there was nobody pushing on him. And he said, I'll call this Rehoboth, because God has made a place for me. Now, If it had been me, Brother Kevin, I'd been tempted to stop right there. And let this be the place. Let this be the place. Yeah. There's nobody pushing me. I've got an expanse here. God's blessing me here. But Isaac was not satisfied with just a well. He wanted more than that. So he went to Beersheba. You go back and you'll find this is where Abraham had also been. This well of Beersheba. And he gets here at Beersheba. And what happens? The Lord appears to him. The Lord comes to him. My friend, don't stop until you get everything that God wants for you. Find your place. Go on and go on. Just because you get in a place at peace, it don't mean it's the place that God is going to visit you. It's not may not be the place where God is going to bless you in a way that is that you're needing. Listen, Isaac could have very well stopped over there in the plains, but he went to Beersheba looking for more.
Amen.
And what was he looking for? Just what he got here. Said, he went up and the Lord appeared unto him and said, I am the God of Abraham. Fear not. When the Lord tells you to fear not, you don't have to worry. Listen, he didn't say that there wouldn't be nothing for him to fear, but he told him not to fear. You know, a lot of times when we hear fear not, we think that that means there's nothing to fear. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It does not mean that we're not condemnable. It does not mean that there's not condemnable things about us, but it means we're not condemned because of what Jesus did at Calvary. And so when he said fear not, he's not saying that you won't never have no more troubles, you won't never have no more trials, but what he said is, hey, I've got this. You don't worry about it. My friend, listen, where a lot of us are, let me just ask you something tonight. God's either sovereign or he's not. We're either in his hands or he's not. If you're living right and you're doing right, the only way anything can come to you, it's got to come through the hands of God. And he's not doing anything to kill us. He's just trying to perfect us today. He's trying to bring us as sons of God into line with him today. I cannot understand everything he does in my life. I can't understand everything he does in anybody's life. But I do know this. When he tells us to fear not, that's what he means. Listen. This man was prospering. This man was doing well. His cattle was doing better than everybody else. His crop was doing better than everybody else. But my friend, not everybody in the Bible lived under those conditions. But you know what? His wealth is not what separate. It did not separate him from God. You know, a lot of people think that if a man's got something, God a little bit, he can't have God. But that's not true. There's people with a lot less than other people that think more of the less they have than people with more think of what they have. It don't matter how much you got, it's where you put it in the place in your life. It may not be nothing but a little pension. You know what? I've seen people step out of the ways of God so that they wouldn't lose their pension. I don't know why I'm here, but I'm just going to preach here. My friend, I don't care if you're 12, I don't care if you're 18 and 20 shacked up, or 88 and 90 and shacked up. It's still shacked up. And my friend, if you won't get married just to keep your pennies, my friend, separate, get away. It's still wrong in the sight of God. I'm telling you, I'm just going to stay with the well. I'd rather hear from God as I had anything else I know. Listen, this way is still narrow. It's still great. It's still straight. Few be there that you find it at. Sin is still sin. Mamas and daddies diggings ain't going to keep you in this way. You better get your own well. You better dig your own place out. You better find a place there for God. He said, fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And what was the first thing he done after he heard from God is he built an altar where he could offer praise and a sacrifice back to God. Isn't that a good indication when somebody really hears from God, the first thing they want to do is to speak back to Him? I believe this today, folks. Get saved. Get baptized into the church. You won't have to send the FBI out looking for them. They'll be ready to come back to the altar. When He becomes the preeminent in our life, it ain't hard for us to worship Him.
That's right.
You know, all that water He got and all that water He drank. And now listen, we think water, well, we used to take it lighter than what we do right now.
Right.
We're beginning to see a little bit of how important this water situation is.
Right.
Down around home, we ain't had rain in over 2 months. I mean, none. And it's dry.
Sure.
I mean, the grass is catching on fire. Folks flicking cigarettes out, catching grass on fire. Man left a chain down on his trailer. Just the sparks caused the fire. My friend, you know what? We didn't think about that stuff when it's raining. But these people lived where water. My friend, the well was the center of their existence. Everything in the town revolved around that well. My friend, if there was a good well in most of them towns, it was opened up, my friend, and everybody come to the well to get their salvation. Isn't that kind of what Jesus is supposed to be in mine and your life? He's supposed to be the center of this thing. Isn't our life drawn from Him? My friend, isn't that supposed to? Listen, you're going to have your well to make it.
Amen.
My daddy was a preacher. Good, a lot better preacher than what I am. My mother was a good woman, but the wells they dug couldn't get me water. I had to have a well dug in my life. I had to dig a well. It's time for some folks to dig a well. There's a lot of folks going on past. I'm gonna tell you something. After the service today, Brother Kevin and Sister Sheila brought us over to a restaurant and we eat. But you know what? After a while, I'm gonna find something else and I'm gonna eat again. I didn't think about it. It was wonderful food. It tastes good. I've thought about it since then. But every time I think about it, it don't do a thing about my hunger pains. My friend, what we've got going on in a lot of folks' lives today, you're living off of yesterday's blessings. But it ain't making you grow none. It may make you feel good inside, but it ain't growing you spiritually. We need to get back and go for God again. Dig a well. And my friend, when you hear from God, my friend, just go ahead and put an altar there.
Amen.
He put an altar there. And the next thing he done, he put his tent where his altar was. He got his living real close to his worshiping. There's a whole lot more correlation than that in what folks believe today. The reason a lot of folks can't worship over the house of God is because their tent is away long distance from their altar.
Yeah.
It's a good sight different what they are on Sunday and what they are on Monday. My friend, that's your altar being at one place and your tent being another. But you know what he done? God spoke. The first thing he done is he heard from God. The next thing he done, he built him an altar. And it's quite, some believe that this is one of the same places that his grandfather Abraham had been an altar. But over time, that thing had been torn down. It was gone. And it was time for Isaac to build one. I want you to know something today. If you ever get to where you need to be, you're going to have to build your altar.
Amen. Good.
You're going to have to decide your tent is going to listen. I was raised strict. I mean, they wouldn't. I didn't get up on. I never, all my childhood, I never remember getting up on Sunday morning and asking my daddy where we was going. Sunday night, no questions. Wednesday night, no questions. We just knew he was going. It's just, that's just the way it was. There wasn't no ambiguity about it.
Right.
He put his tent close to his altar. Now, he was my pastor most of my life. And I can tell you this, what he preached on Sunday, he lived on Monday. And what was wrong on Sunday with the other people's kids was doubly wrong for his kids. And I'm going to tell you, and listen, I think that's right. I believe that's the way it ought to be. But this man heard from God. He built an altar, put his tent close to his altar, and the next thing he says, we're going to dig a well. Now, if it's possible, we're going to live here. We've talked to God. We've got our altar. We got our tent. And then his servants began to dig the well. Well, my friend, while they're digging the well, overcome of the horizon from the Philistines, come over Abimelech. The very ones that had run him off. The very ones that said, we can't have no, we don't want you around here. You're causing too much trouble. The very one that the cattle, or that the herdsmen had strove with Isaac herdsmen. Here they come pulling up, said, hey, we want to make covenants with you. We want peace with you. My friend, listen. By him giving a little bit of ground, by him leaving some things alone, my friend, he lived in peace. I've seen men live in turmoil over a foot of land on a property line. My friend, I'd rather live in peace if it cost me 10 feet of property. You say, preacher, he'll beat you. You'll get beat during that lesson. This is just temporal, but that we're doing in the name of God God is eternal. We are stressing over the temporal and we're letting the eternal slip away from us. It's much more important, my witness and my standing with God, than it is whether or not my neighbors think that I'm everything I ought to be as far as guarding my property line. Isaac walked off. Went to another place, dug, God blessed him. Went another place, dug, God blessed. Went, he finally gets over there and he digs a well. All he finds out, he's got peace with all his neighbors. And in comes the servants. And said, we found water in the well. I didn't read it, but at the end of that chapter, there comes the servant. Said, we found water in that well. You know what? And listen, they wouldn't have come and told him. If it had been old sour water, if it had been old salty water, if it had been used of no water, they wouldn't have come and told the master this through digging. But my friend, when he got his altar right and he got his house right and God was talking to him, then God gave him something that was sustaining. But we have went away. Listen, a well is a self-perpetuating thing. You don't have to have rain for a well. My friend, you do eventually, but you understand what I'm saying. You remember what he said in Jeremiah? Let me read this. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. Let me get over here right quick. Get my eyes on here. He says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Remember that first well, or one of those wells he drunk over there? He said it's springing waters. That's the same water as this living waters. They've committed two evils. They've forsaken the fountain of living waters and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. My friend, we've come to the day and time where people have drunk out of the cisterns for so long and they've drunk out of mud holes and stomps along. They don't know what a good cool drink of water is anymore because there's some work in getting the well cleaned out and keeping her cleaned out. And my friend, folks had rather settled for this stuff that's just coming out of cisterns. And my friend, listen, all a cistern can do is catch what's run off from somewhere else, but a well has a different supply. I wonder tonight. I look around. You've got several little young ones here. And Brother Kevin, for them to make it, they're not going to be able to go on what Mom and Daddy does. Brother Tim, you can live as close as you can, but it'll never be close enough to carry your kids through. It don't matter how much I do. I've got a boy that'll be 29 in January and a girl that just turned 26 in August. And me and Mama cannot dig enough wells and do enough to make it right in their families. We need some folks that's willing to dig a well. These gray hairs are moving off the scene. This age of faithfulness and this age of that love the church, they're moving off the scene. Now, I don't see many young ones, many young families that's willing to step up and dig a well and say, this is where my tin is. This is where my altar is. This is where my water is. I'm going to have peace with God. I'm going to have fellowship with God. This is above everything. My friend, we need some folks that's willing to dig a well. This morning we dug a ditch and it was for a day winning and a day battle. But I'm talking about digging deeper today and tonight and getting that your family can live on till they need to dig their well.
Good.
Isaac's kids. And isn't it amazing? Isaac went back to the very same wells that Abraham had dug. Even called them by the same name. But he couldn't. He couldn't stay on. I've thought about this. A lot of times if we sing a song and God moves in the church, and I mentioned this earlier, we'll want to sing that song again, hoping that we can trick God into doing what He done before. Isn't that what we do? We do this and this, and it worked before, so we're going to do that again. Around home, they're real bad. If they have a preacher 1 year and the church likes him, year after year after year after year, 20 and 30 years preaching the same man. Some of the churches, they'll just get turned off by it, but they keep doing it because they're trying to drum up something that happened way back yonder. You know, if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in the past. And we'll keep living off the past. Listen, I'm going to tell you what, these youngins around here, they need to see worship today.
Right.
They need to see some of you dipping out of a fresh well today. They need to see the bucket. Maybe y'all don't understand what I'm saying. They need to see the bucket fall off the edge of the well and go down and come back up. And my friend, pull up a good cold drink of water. And we need some dippers over at the house of God. Y'all do know, North Carolina folks know about dippers, don't you? My granny had a dipper, it hung there, and everybody drank out of it. It didn't matter. A friend, foe, whatever, if they come by, they wanted water out of that well, they could drink out of it. But you just, everybody used the same dip. You say, preacher, that's gross. I won't tell you, you probably think me spitting is gross and trying to preach is gross. But I'm going to tell you what, when the water gets being passed out, I don't care how I have to get a drink. I just want some of it.
Well,
what would you give? What would you give right now? Naturally, do any of you have remembrances of that good cold water that used to come out of them wells? You know, them old timers that didn't have city water and didn't even have pumps back then, but they'd drop down in buckets.
Yeah.
They'd pull that stuff up, and it'd be so cold in the summertime.
Yeah.
Boy, it hit that part. So they ain't nothing, and in taste, it just free stone water. There ain't nothing in the world tastes like. If you've ever had it, there ain't nothing else tastes like it. And my friend, it'd make your mouth water just to talk about it and to think about it. Hey, I'm the same way about the well of living water that's flooding in my soul right now. Listen, I'm saying we need to not only desire that natural, but that spiritual today. Hey, I want to drink from the living water today.
Amen.
Isn't that what He told us would spring up in our soul?
Yeah.
a well of living water springing up. Man, don't you like it? When that stuff begins to slosh out, don't you like it when you get filled? You know, filled means you can't hold no more. That's what that means. Filled means that there's no capacity for it. He said, do not drink wine and wherein it says, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And you'd say, Holy Ghost, be just fine there. My friend, when you get full of that, Brother Kevin, if you're full of the Spirit, all I have to do is nudge you that much, and some of it's going to come out. I want to tell you something today. Hey, you can have it today. You'd be so full when you come up the step. Somebody say, God bless you, and it'll make the water run out of you. I'm telling you, we need some wells dug today.
Amen.
I thought about this. I think it was Brother Pace said when he was a kid, his daddy had a well dug. Pretty sure it was. He may have told this here. I don't know. But he said, the guy come out there and started digging. It's either, I can't remember if it's him or Brother Mill, but one of the two. I've heard so many tales from them two. I like to listen to them. And if you've got a problem with that, I'm sorry. You got a problem. It ain't mine. But they said that this digger got to digging this well. And he told himself, when I get down so far, he said, I'm going to hit water. He said, but it ain't good water. He said, it'll go dry on you. He said, but if you'll let me keep on digging, said, I'll get down there where the water's at.
Yeah.
He said, now when I get to that water, he said, it'll be good and it'll last you. And so sure enough, he dug out, come in one day, and there he sat, and he had a can, old rusty can, and said, here, I got water. He looked at it, and it just didn't look right. He said, that's that first water I told you about. He said, it's going to cost X amount of dollars for me to keep going. He said, but if you're willing to pay it, I'm willing to keep digging. And he said, I'm telling you, there's good water down there. Hey, you know where most of the folks has quit digging? Right there. They've got some kind of water, and it's better than no water, but they're not willing to pay the price to get the good water. I say, hey, let's just live firm and keep digging. It'll be worth it one day. Dug on down and come back in a couple of days, went through the rock, got down there, found the fountain of living water. He said, hey, my daddy's house is fed off of it. My sister's house is fed off of it. There's a house across the road off of that same well. I'm telling you, when you get where you need to be, it'll make a difference in your whole family.
Amen.
Are you willing to dig the well? This morning I asked you if you're willing to dig a ditch. Was you willing to be obedient? Now, are you willing to be determined? Do you want what the old timers had? Then do what they did. We don't need a new way. We don't need to get them down here.
That's right.
And get the Bible and read to them. Isn't it amazing how old farmers that couldn't read their name in boxcar letters could hear a man preach that barely could read his name?
Yeah.
And some of them couldn't.
Yeah.
He could hear him preach under the power of the Holy Ghost, and they could come to an altar without any assistance from the Baptist or anybody else. And they could get all the way inside the Holy of Holies.
Yeah.
They went right past the veil. They went right to the throne room of God. And they done business with God. And my friend, they got up a chain. Isn't it amazing? Now we've got to put... Listen, we need to go back and dig some real wells today.
That's right.
You know what most of them got? They just got that old muddy water. Never did get that living water. They've got a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. I wonder tonight, some of you come prayed for obedience this morning. Would you be honest and say, I just don't have that well I don't have that depth that I ought to have for God. I'll tell you this story, and then I'm gonna, I try not to tell a lot of stories. I told that in about the well, but I feel impressed to tell this. I was pastoring over in Mississippi. And when I first went there, there's a young lady. She's married to one of the boys there in church, and they had a little boy. And he worked for a tire company. And every time he'd have to go out of town for business or whatever, she'd go back to her church. And it was a, more of a liberal church. Kind of preacher didn't preach exactly like I did. And later on, she told me, she said, "Preacher, when you come here, I determined I wasn't going to like you." But you know what? When I left there, she was one of my biggest supporters. But she got where she'd leave every time he left. Well, I just kept preaching to her, and I kept loving her. I didn't get mad at her, and I didn't try to chastise her, and I didn't try to be ugly to her. I just told her I loved her, and I preached to her, and I encouraged her to do some things. I said, "If you'll do this, you'll be surprised what God will do in your life. Just preach the Bible to them, talking about being faithful and things like that, studying your Bible, learn more about God, and see if God don't get bigger in your life than you are to Him." And she just took to it, and she, boy, it wasn't long, boy, she just, now, when I left over there, her husband missed, if the baby got sick, he stayed home with, she'd make him swap out. She wouldn't miss both services. He'd have to stay home one service where she could come to church. She wanted to be around preaching. She wanted to be around the folks of God. What I'm saying is this, my friend, you may have started out in a liberal outfit, and you may not ever had really, I'm talking about really a close and personal relationship and real worship in your heart, but that don't mean you ain't saved. But that, my friend, you may be living way beneath what you could be living today. I'm asking you today, would you like a drink of this living water? Would you like something that's better than anything the world has to offer? I've never had anything do for me what this Word of God does.
Amen.
Boy, it'd make a bad day a good one in a hurry. You know what I like about my well? It ain't tied to the church.
That's right.
If it's tied to the church, the only place I could get a drink would be here.
Yeah.
But my well's inside of me. And so when I'm over there in them nasty chicken houses, and I'm over there and I'm walking down through there, and there's 28,000-30,000 birds in that house, and I begin to sing praises, begin to talk to Him, He'll come right here. That chicken litter don't bother Him. That dust don't bother Him. All them birds around, don't none of that stuff bother Him. You say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I'm saying if you'll get it right, when you're over at the job place, you'll be over on your job, and you'll get thinking about heaven, go thinking about Him. That well will begin to bubble up, and it'll make a difference. My friend, there's been times if my service man had walked in there and saw me dancing around and carrying on around them chickens, he'd have probably had me committed and said something's wrong with that fella, but they was. I was getting me a drink of water. And I don't care if you don't like me getting a drink of water. I'm drinking it anyway. If nobody else wants water, I want water today. Listen, it ain't none of the devil's business how much I enjoy my salvation. I realize I don't fit in everywhere, but listen, where I'm going, I'm going to fit right in. And there's a lot of these I don't fit in. If you don't fit, listen, if you fit in with the world crowd better than you do God's crowd, you better be upset about that.
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't fit in everywhere. Everybody don't take to me, and that's all right. I love them, but they ain't going to take to me. Some of my own flesh and blood raised in the same house I was raised in said the only reason you believe like you do is because that's the way you was raised. You know what I looked at them and said? You was boiled in the same pot of water as I was.
Yeah.
So if it had that effect on me, why didn't it have that effect on you?
Yeah.
I said, I believe like I do because God showed me some things.
Good.
I've dug out my own way. Listen, I don't care if you agree with me or not.
Yeah.
I'm saved to the uttermost. I know that I am. Listen, you can fall out. Listen, you can fall all you want to, but I'm not falling with you. I believe what he said in Jude, he is able to keep me from falling. Listen, we're eternally his. He said he was the author of eternal salvation. That's the only kind I can find in the Bible. He said, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but everlasting. Listen, everlasting ain't got no overtime, no steel date on it. He said, it still is to the day of redemption by his Holy Spirit. I'm just headed that way. I'm well on my journey.
Amen.
And I ain't a drinking out of mud hose till I get there.
Amen.
I don't have to.
That's right.
I don't have to. I wonder tonight, how long's it been? I thought about these kids. They need some encouragement. To dig a well.
Yes, sir.
And dig till you get the water right.
Amen.
Don't let it run off from somewhere else, fill in. That's just a cistern. Make sure you keep that thing covered till you get it down and till the water comes from the bottom up.
Yeah.
Don't let the water come from the top down. That's what a lot of folks has got today. They're living off of somebody else's well.
Yeah.
But I'm glad God put one inside of me. That's everlasting.
Amen.
Don't quit till you get to the water. I tell you, it'll make a difference in your life. Brother Kev, if you would, preacher, if you would come stand with us. I wonder tonight, it's time for some folks to dig a well. It's time for some folks to get found. Listen, you're doing pretty good, and I understand that. But I want to ask you today, how close is your altar and how close is your tent to your well today? How close in proximity are you living to the center of God's will? Listen, I'm not saying we can do anything to impress a holy God. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there are some benefits tied to faithfulness today. I do believe that. If there hadn't have been, he wouldn't have wrote that and said, I write these things that your joy might be full. Because if it might be full, it might not be full. But that just makes sense, don't it? That's just deductive reasoning. And the reason a lot of folks' joy is not full, you know what the saddest part is? Some people used to have a well that sprung water. You know Jacob's well over there in Israel? They had to put barricades up around that thing and over it. Because people would come by over years and years visiting that thing. And what do you, as a human, what do you want to do when you get... Have you ever, any of y'all ever took a rock? Just to see how long it took for it to hit? Well, see, you take all those visitors and everybody taking a pebble and everybody taking a stone and dropping it in that well. That well went from being free-flowing till it got clogged. From all of the trash and all the debris and all the things in it. Boy, don't that sound like some folks over at the house of God today? They've kind of got clogged up. With all the things of the world, and your well don't spring out like... Listen, I want revival. And you say, preacher, you're being harsh. No, I didn't. If I can't help you, I'll go home tonight. But I want you to know something. I've tried to help you tonight. I want you to have everything that God will let you have.
Amen.
The world's telling you there ain't nothing to it. And I'm telling you, you ain't tapped into all of it
yet.
That's what I'm telling you. I'd like to see, you know what I'd like? I'd like for us to come in here one night and this whole church just get the can't help it.
Amen.
That's right. It wouldn't be none of the devil's business.
Right.
I'd like to see some of you get way past where you think you could be.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Hey, you come to yourself somewhere in another aisle, in another bench. So, old preacher, I don't believe that happens. I know it happens. I'm talking about people getting the can't help it. That well gets to springing up and you get to drinking out of that water and you get to, next thing, you don't even know where you're at. I'm talking about revival. I'm talking about getting a fresh drink of water. Do you need to come pray?